I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News Stella Ginman, who is running in the seat of Fremantle at the upcoming federal election for the United Australia Party, UAP. Welcome, Stella.
Thank you, Michael. I'm pleased to be here with you today.
Well, here we are in downtown at today, sunny Fremantle, and the election's only, well, a matter of 3 weeks or so away, isn't it? Very close.
Yes, it's closing in on us.
Now tell me, why are you running in Fremantle?
I have a heart for multicultural and diverse communities. And I really love Fremantle. I love this community. And the skills that I bring around problem solving and tackling difficult issues, I do that with a genuine concern and compassion. And that also translates into action. United Australia Party, for me, were the only party that stood really strong on their policy relating to our constitutional rights, and they presented to me clear thinking and long-term planning and solutions for all Australians to prosper in these changing times.
Okay, well, that sounds like a good party political statement straight off, Stella. And I think a lot of people will know by now that in your career to this point, you've been a secondary school principal, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. For a long time, I've served a community, and often in times of disadvantage, and as I've said about changing times, we are in these VUCA times, volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous, and I think it takes an agile kind of leadership to really be able to bring the best for everyone
to deal with all of that.
Yes.
One question you'll inevitably get asked along the line, including at the big Freo candidates debate on the 10th of May, is whether you're based within the bounds of the electorate, or do you live outside it?
Well, although I currently reside outside it, having moved, I actually have spent a lot of time living in the electorate and also working and being in the electorate. In my younger years, I did work here, but I also have a husband who grew up here and was born and bred in Fremantle, and really we have those connections to families, communities.
So you've got nice connections.
Yes.
And you started to touch on the question of skills. I mean, I think there's a very important case to be made for the Commonwealth Parliament, as indeed state parliaments, to have a diversity of people, both gender, outlook on life, career experiences, and the like. Having mentioned your occupation, what skills do you think you particularly personally bring if you were occupying a seat in Canberra?
Well, the first thing, Michael, is that I know how to serve a community. What I was really trying to say about the multicultural and diverse community, often with all kinds of issues and trauma and backgrounds, where we need to equalise the playing field. We need to make sure we're delivering equity, natural justice to all of our constituents. And I think my particular skill is that I really care about people. And I really believe in serving them, and I think we've failed them in lots of ways. I mean, if you look at the polls, we're not seeing politicians rate very highly. But when you look at our United Australia Party candidates, we've got 151 covering every seat. They come from a broad range of different professions. And, you know, there's high respect for teachers, but for the nurses, the firefighters, people we have who are doctors and lawyers. And I think these are everyday people, and we're in touch with our populations. We're able to listen, hear concerns, and then amplify them, be a voice for the people and for ordinary Australians. And I want them all to prosper. And having been able to do that on a smaller scale, I think there's transferable skills that can really, really benefit and revitalise things culturally and also in terms of governing with a fresh vision and a new perspective and agility.
So just turning to the UAP for a minute, are you a long-time member?
Well, actually, I'm a fairly short-term member, and I think that's one of the benefits, as I say, that people have come out of everyday, ordinary professions thinking, I would like to make a difference. I really think I can bring, you know, compilations of skills together with others and working collaboratively. I really like the unity, which is exemplified by the United Australia Party. I think collaboration for me in a community, again, from my background, is actually how one can work together and really foster that interconnectedness to really engage and participate. And to me, our most valuable resources are our human resources. And I'm used to really bringing out the potential. And I think together with that kind of a diverse tapestry, it's a very rich collective social and intellectual capital to be able to propel Australia forward into a more prosperous position.
At the moment, what are the key UAP policies that affect everybody, including those of us living in Fremantle?
So the key policies are that people do need to have their right to choice, and we are very pro freedom of choice. So vaccine mandates and mandates around discriminatory, which I know the Fremantle people do feel very strongly about. I know that it's relaxed for now, but the fact that we can get an overreach of political powers to enforce or extend unnecessary borders where people are separated from loved ones and families, missing births or funerals. I think that we need to actually reassess, and I think we've been in a state of emergency for 2 years now, and isn't it time that Parliament discuss these issues? We've had enough time to work out what we're going to do about it. So I think it's time that sensible politicians brought to the table the Bill of Rights, which United Australia Party are bringing forward, so that we can protect our Australians, preserve our democracy, ensure that people have freedom of choice and security. And I think it's also very protective in terms of not having people decide and make decisions that I think we can trust our citizens to be able to assess with their doctors. Like, it is the sanctity really between the patient and the doctor, who should know what's best for a patient, to advise and determine regarding health, medical conditions, risk, efficacy, long-term health effects. I think that benefit has been missing in the speed that this has all been delivered.
I haven't become fully acquainted with all the detailed arguments in relation to vaccination stances. There seems to me to be a fairly large libertarian philosophy behind it, but can I ask whether the UAP, and you personally, to use the common expression, have been anti-vax?
No, and I think if you look, Michael, at ordinary Australians, most of us got vaccinated about 48 times over the years. And I think that the studies are very small. And
you mean starting with measles or whatever?
Look, without COVID vaccines, without even flu vaccinations, we're up to number 48 already. So, you know, this is on top of what we've already become, a highly vaccinated society. And yet we really need to do larger scale research around that, because even some of the smaller ones, which can't give us enough transparent and reliable data, are suggesting that, you know, all these vaccinations we've had over the years are actually causing people to have more health complications. But because it's on a small scale, we can't really assess that. So we need larger scale peer assessed reviews so that we can reassure our constituents and the public about their future health, safety and quality of life.
Okay.
And obviously there's got to be risk and benefit assessment, but I mean, there's other major policies if you'd like me to continue.
I was going to say, I'm sure that sort of the COVID period and the vaccination issues is going to keep coming back, and probably the big candidates debate on the 10th of May we'll hear more about it. But what are some of the other key platforms for the UAP?
Yes, thank you. So Michael, I'm excited about the fact that we've all started to identify we've got $1 trillion debt. And to me, a lot of that is just incompetency and a lack of financial acumen, if you want to say. I think that it needs to be regulated in a way that brings the benefits back to Australia to prosper. And what I really like about the United Australia Party is that they've already put in place long-term financial planning and using the best minds. Like, we know Clive Palmer is a very successful businessman, but if you add to that, we've got Dominic Martino, who comes from being the chief at Deloitte. And I think that what they've put on the table presents a way to drive down that debt. And everyone's worried about the runaway inflation, the cost of living, the prices going up with groceries, how ordinary Australians and the Aussie battler are going to be able to tackle that to have, you know, a good future.
Is the UAP's policy to, in essence, eliminate that big debt that we've incurred over the last couple of years?
Totally, like over time, but instead of like, it would take 150 years to bring down the debt that's been, that's accrued. But now we've got the opportunity to start charging more, like putting the tax back on the iron ore going overseas, so that...
It would be a levy, I think, in the UAP policy. Is that how it would work?
15% on exporting it, which would then mean that the reliance on it, which is they can't produce it in Asia. And the Asian countries, they actually need the iron ore. So instead of us giving it to them, and they obviously go through their stages to develop it and they are making all the profits, why shouldn't that come back into Australia where we can actually add to jobs and skills and build the industrial side of the processing so that we benefit more and have more of the processes on our Australian shores? And to me, that is very sensible and it will reduce our cost of living. And they're also planning to bring back out of the trillions on the super that's gone into Europe and overseas to the US, to bring back at least a trillion of that, and that's the commitment, so that we can invest it in Australia and causing Australia to flourish and prosper.
Could I get us to jump, only because of the time and the issues we need to cover, from those big national issues, which do affect people here, to what you see as local issues, particularly within Fremantle?
So I think for local issues, like we're a port. We're the jewel in the crown in Fremantle, and it's that Fremantle way that I think needs restoring. And to be able to do that, we're seeing too many empty shops and places. We've got to help our small businesses, and we've been getting rid of the provisional taxes and, you know, fringe benefit and all the areas of tax that would help young people to own their own homes. So their first payment of $30,000, they'll get it back in a tax return. We want to make housing affordable for our youth and our young people. We want them to be able to own their own homes and live the great Australian dream, not just for us, but our future generations. And we want to secure them. And so I think too that we want to be able to really contribute in a meaningful way to the job market for them. Because, you know, I was talking to a young couple with a baby yesterday in Fremantle, and they'd had to relocate from up north and move here because they couldn't afford the cost of living. And these are our young families. We don't really want to see our pensioners suffering. That's why they're going to get an extra $180 a fortnight. This is not a cash splash for a short-term gain. This is giving them something longer-term and recognising that they've helped build our country. These are our beloved seniors. You know, they've contributed, and some of them have gone through wars to sacrifice to really help us be what we are in Fremantle today. And I think, too, being a port, we've got Henderson and we've got all the... We've got massive opportunities there. Those defence force ships, which is also protecting our shores and our borders, they're providing us with some of the most sophisticated engineering and cutting-edge technology. And, you know, coming from education, we're seeing that we can better prepare the future workforce, we can build their skills, we can also utilise more of their potential. And by abolishing the HECS debt and making higher education freer, we're not going to discriminate against our low-exia students, who've ingenious students, our Aboriginal students. We're also helping our regional Aboriginal and other people by decentralising what's becoming a very congested area. I know it's not just Fremantle, but the city, but giving people the option to move into the regions and rural area and then get tax benefits.
Can I ask you about some specific areas? And certainly the Fremantle Shipping News has been concerned with these and been asking each of the candidates I've interviewed. Where does the UAP stand on climate change?
So with climate change, I do come from a school leading the way in preparing our youth for sustainability and renewable energies, including Climate Clever and other technologies, and had students on projects because they're going to be our future workers. Incidentally, I worked with Western Power, and the CEO said in partnership on projects like building a solar and a outdoor classroom for the future, but also talking about biomes. And he said to me, "So let me get this right. You'd like us to have the school off the grid, and yet we're a power we're a power company." And I said yes, and they still contributed their know-how and money because we've got such a gap that we need to close, Michael, in our future workforce and in the knowledge and skills acquisition so they can contribute to Australia for the future.
Would you in the UAP like to see us off the fossil fuel grid and entirely electric?
Well, we are exploring all green and renewable and clean energies, and I think that needs to be said because I think that there has been a labelling about UAP, but all that we're really saying is that proper, fair and equal trade agreements with our trading partners need to be considered and measures should be applied equally. Like, we're going to develop Australia's industries to get away from our reliance on, you know, on foreign entities, and we need to consider all possibilities should be discussed in robust, debatable discussions so that we can find the cleanest, greenest, cheapest ways to ensure that we have enough power and we're not also going to be paying large amounts of money to develop it.
Does it include a commitment to net zero by 2050?
Yes, and that is UAP's actual policy, is that.
Can I move to another topic? There's been a lot of discussion in recent times about the establishment of a Federal Integrity Commission. Where do you and UAP stand on that issue?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, Michael, we're in total support and agreement. We need transparency, we need accountability. We need to eliminate all kinds of anything that isn't going to be transparent to our Australian people and to Fremantle. But, you know, I find it disappointing from, you know, having not been a politician to being into this realm, that we even have to introduce it. To me, when we pick leaders, our leaders should have the finest set of moral standards, and it's holding up a standard of excellence. And this is where I believe that, yes, I think we're there as politicians to serve the communities. Everyone should be held to account for scrupulous work and proceedings that are, you know, able to be reviewed and interrogated and open and transparent. Because at this point, the reason we need it is because we're not getting it. And so it's time that we did.
And finally, trouble about these lovely conversations, we could probably talk for the rest of the day. But another issue that is of interest and been promoted by the Fremantle Shipping News is the need for political financing reform, real-time disclosure of donations, perhaps caps on donations as well, which presumably would be of some interest. I think there's a lot of publicity around Mr. Palmer supporting the UAP to the extent of $70 million or more. But where do you and the UAP stand on political financing?
We believe totally in the transparency, and UAP agree 100% that it does need to be. Like, everybody knows that Clive Palmer has contributed his wealth and money to the election campaign, but we're not getting it from shady lobbyists, we're not getting it from unions or big pharmaceutical companies or big corporations. And so I think that it is open and should be to the public and to review. And I like the idea that we need to be actually reviewing that so that we don't have rorts and waste in what we are delivering. I think that the Australian people need to know that they can trust the party. And so therefore, you know, a lot of the financial side of what I believe UAP are bringing in will just benefit the economy.
Stella, it's been really lovely talking to you. The electors of Fremantle have a chance to listen to you here. But as I mentioned, I think now for the third time, the big Freo candidates debate is on the 10th of May, 6 p.m, Tannock Hall, corner of Cliff Street and in Fremantle. You must get along, and we'll look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you, Michael. I've really enjoyed being on your show.